You know, even though every guest who's been on the program has their own views, their own theories about the JFK assassination, when you piece pieces of it together, you see even a bigger picture. Up next is the guy I call the Bulldog, Alex Jones, on Coast to Coast AM. Alex Jones with us this hour. We're going to take calls with him at the half. Alex is an award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher. His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, are truly at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. He is recognized by many as the father of the 9/11 truth movement, being one of the first to question the government's first official story and version. His newest film is Martial Law, 9/11, Rise of the Police State, detailing the latest revelations. Alex, but you're always working on something else. What's new on your plate, my friend?
Well, first off, George, thank you so much for having me on. I have been riveted for the last 2 hours and 7 minutes, 45 seconds. I mean, I have just all the amazing guests you've had on. Well, as you know, you covered it live when I was in deep trouble in Canada earlier this year covering the Bilderberg Group meeting. That's the new film I'm working on. I was working on it earlier tonight before I got home and tuned in at midnight Central Time to the broadcast. And that should be out in about 6 months. I think it's going to be the most powerful film I've ever made. I'm working on that right now.
But by the way, this is not the show I promised you. You just happened to fall into a great category tonight. So your complete show will be arranged with you in the not-too-distant future, okay?
I'm very excited about that. Thank you, George.
JFK assassination. What I like about bringing in so many different guests, Alex, is they all bring similar but different theories to the table. You've been looking at this for a long time yourself, haven't you?
Exactly. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was listening to your show. It was a night I wasn't a guest, and you said, Alex Jones is a collector. He collates data. He brings it together. And that was an accurate, very accurate description that really I hadn't thought of myself. What I do is look at the big picture, and every one of your guests has brought in key pieces, but what I do is look at the pieces, and I think you do the same thing, George. That's how you can recognize what I'm doing, because, you know, it takes one to know one. As they say, you know, certainly the mafia is involved, and the CIA is involved, and foreign governments are involved, but it's all pieces of the same global Illuminati elite that bring in this world government together. What had JFK done that had made the establishment so angry? And the bigger question is, he was a member of the establishment. Why had he turned against them? And really, this was a war in heaven, as they say. This was an elite fighting with itself. In fact, speaking of the Bilderberg Group, we know the last 5 years, for the first time since their founding, they've been having a lot of inner struggles and arguments with each other. And people can say that John F. Kennedy decided to be a leader and wanted to help the people. Or they can say that, you know, he was a wild man. Whatever you want to say, maverick, heretic, whatever, John F. Kennedy did sign an executive order to print U.S. notes by the Treasury. He did cut out the private bankers. He did start the move to pull out our troops from Vietnam. He did say that he was going to abolish the CIA. He did all of these things, and they killed him in Dallas. And frankly, the mafia was involved, but the CIA in the 40s during World War II used Sicilian mafia. That doesn't mean the mafia did the hit. And before she died, I interviewed her several times. Madeline Duncan Brown is the admitted mistress. She even had a son of Lyndon Baines Johnson. And she told me that she met with him that night after he'd been at that meeting the night before they killed Kennedy, and he said, that SOB will never make me look like a fool again. I'm going to kill him. I've interviewed Barr McClellan, the big lawyer for LBJ, his lawyer for 15 years. His son was Scott McClellan, White House press secretary. He said LBJ told him that he killed Kennedy. But that was LBJ bragging. LBJ was the puppet for the elite that killed Kennedy. You know, could the mafia change the motorcade route? Could the mafia make the Warren Commission have a whitewash? Could the mafia do all these things? No, no. The mafia shooters were used, and we know the names of that mafia. Yeah, there was Dixie Mafia involved, but there was also New York and Chicago and New Orleans Mafia involved, but they were low-level trigger men. This was the New World Order basically fighting with themselves, killing a president that for some reason was saying no to their agenda. And there's more, George. Everybody out there who knows about 9/11 understands that Operation Northwoods was an official U.S. government plan to carry out 9/11 style attacks, but it wasn't in 2001. It was in 1962. ABC
and this was actually revealed. I want people to know this is not some conspiracy. This is not guesswork. This was an actual plan of action.
Exactly. In 2000, ABC News, the Baltimore Sun, the Associated Press, all reported a declassified document. Now, this is good people in the government right before it happened because, again, it's criminal elements. It's not the government. It's criminal elements that are in control of the Islamic fascists. It's criminal elements that are in control of all these groups that they use to bring in this terror storm of fear so that we'll acquiesce to world government. So, 1962. They bring to John Fitzgerald Kennedy this plan that says we're going to hijack jets by remote control, crash them, we're going to bomb D.C., we're going to commit sniper attacks, and this is how we're going to frame patsies. Even has that. It's a 15-page document signed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman, L.L. Lemonser. This wasn't some war game. This was an operational plan green-lighted through McNamara right up to the president, and Kennedy says no to Operation Northwoods that I cover in my new film, Terror Storm. Just a year later, they kill John F. Kennedy. And on a Frontline special a few years ago, they just mentioned Northwoods and said that Kennedy saw this plan and fired most of the Joint Chiefs. He said, no way I'm going to kill Americans. No way I'm going to be part of this. So that was just one more little ingredient. And the very same group that killed President Kennedy, the people who were operatives on the ground that day, and we know their names, are the very people that orchestrated 9/11. So the same elite that committed that murder 43 years ago in downtown Dallas, Texas, just 150 miles from where I sit, is the very same elite that funded and financed those that carried out 9/11, and they did it to continue their agenda. Whenever their agenda hits a problem, they stage a terror attack, they assassinate somebody, they create a crisis to then control that crisis to move forward their agenda. And that agenda is total dehumanization, a one-world government.
And at some point also using real people who hate us, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Just a few weeks ago, I interviewed, and we have the transcript of it up, the head, I mean, this is a real James Bond, folks. This isn't the movies. The head, the person who was running the IRA, and the main bomb maker, and after I interviewed him, by the way, one of them was arrested. This was all over the news in England, admitting that almost every bombing, over 70% in the last 30 years, carried out in London or carried out in Ireland, was an operation of MI6 and MI5. And why did they do it? To keep troops in Northern Ireland, to keep a police state in England and in London, and to scare the people into submission. Vladimir Putin has been caught carrying out terror bombings to blame it on his enemies. So you have pure government-sponsored terror, that is small criminal groups doing it. And then you also have provocateur actions where a young suicide bomber doesn't even know that the Illuminati is funding a bank that funds a terrorist leader, who funds a sub-terrorist leader, who funds a local terrorist leader, who funds that young suicide bomber in the West Bank. So this is their strategic plan. This is how they control this menace.
You know what's so bizarre about the Kennedy assassination, Alex? Another strange theory. Listen to this. So many groups hated Kennedy. So many groups wanted Kennedy taken out. All of them, and as you know, I don't believe in coincidences. This is fate. All of them were at Dealey Plaza on that horrible day, November 22nd, 1963, not knowing that the other group was going to try to take Kennedy out. All of them were there to commit an assassination attempt, and they maybe all of them succeeded.
Well, that's
is that possible?
Well, that's key, what you just said. That's how the globalists operate. You have compartmentalization. Why does the New World Order have the pyramid as their symbol? The eye at the top knows everything, and all these compartments are separated. And, yes, for my research, and Jim Mars, of course, would echo this. I was listening to him earlier, and he's one of my people that has taught me. Exactly. They have these separated groups all with the same agenda. And if Kennedy was to escape that triangulated fire there, they were going to get him down the road. So what the elite had was multiple groups set up ready to kill Kennedy in case he would have escaped. In fact, they even had U.S. troops, as the movie JFK accurately depicts, U.S. military troops circling in planes ready to, quote, land for riot control. Why would there be riot? Because of a public gunning down of JFK. But again, the real mystery here is Kennedy was an elitist. Kennedy had been put in. They had definitely stolen the election from Nixon in Chicago with Mayor Daley. There was definitely mafia connections. They were definitely a mafia family. It's admitted mainstream history that Joseph Kennedy Sr. Was a mobster, made his money. He was literally a poor person when he was a small child, that he literally been recruited, that he was mafia, that he made his money during Prohibition. Mm-hmm. Why did Bobby then turn against the mafia? Why did his older brother, the president, turn against the mafia? You know, about an hour and a half ago, I heard you talk about the report that came out yesterday, and that was in the London Guardian.
Oh, the Bobby Kennedy report, yeah.
And they just come right out and say what we've always known, that he was clearly assassinated. I mean, you had a gun fired so close to the back of his head and back that it was blasting chunks of flesh out of him. The coroner said he was shot from behind. There were more bullets dug out of the walls than what Sirhan's handgun could hold. And that's the answer to the riddle.
I knew a person who would communicate with Sirhan Sirhan, even visit him occasionally. And he would tell me that Sirhan Sirhan did not believe he killed Kennedy, but he has no recollection of it. It's strange.
Well, he's been interviewed by top federal and state psychologists, and this is right here in the London Guardian, which is the biggest paper in Europe, biggest paper in the UK, not just UK, Europe. And when they found his notebook, it was endless chants about RFK must die, RFK must be killed, Robert F. Kennedy must be assassinated before the 5th of June, 68. And he remembers nothing after this woman in the polka dot dress takes him into a dark hallway for a special drink of coffee. I mean, this fits the same MO with McVeigh, with all of them, over and over and over again. So we have to ask ourselves, this is the big question. We know that there is a global group behind the terror. We know there's a global group behind these assassinations. Why do they do them so sloppily where everybody can tell what's happening?
Right there in the public, yeah.
Exactly. They could poison somebody. They could do so many different things. Why do they carry out 9/11 where it's so obviously a fraud?
They can make the president look like he died of a heart attack.
Exactly. Why then do they kill Lincoln in plain view at a theater? That the message is it's a stage. Why do they kill JFK 43 years ago in front of everyone and have his head blown off and bullets all through his body and then let the evidence come out? Why do they blow up the buildings in front of us? Why do they do all of this? And it's a message. It's an arrogant message to the thinking population that we're in control, we have the power, and there's nothing you can do on earth to stop us. Basically, they're throwing down the gauntlet, and they know that the general public's going to be dumbed down and not going to wake up for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But they know the thinking intelligentsia will be absolutely horrified. In fact, George, think about this. In fact, last time I was on a few months ago, we talked about it. It took 40 years for it to hit 80%+. And I heard Jim Marsh earlier, he said 85 to 90%. You look at the polls, scientific polls, they're between 85 and 95%, depending on the poll. So that's 90%. If you average these polls together,
right. Plus or minus 5%, but that's still huge.
Exactly. So let's just be conservative. Let's say 80%. They just had a new Angus and Reid poll for the New York Times and ABC News a month ago. 84% believe they're being lied to about 9/11. Listen, the elite could have just detonated a nuke. That would have gotten an even bigger police state. Why did they do a big theatrical release in front of everybody that would expose what they're doing? And I'll tell you why. I've studied the Illuminati. I've studied these occultists. And it's like the old legend of a vampire has to ask permission to come into your house. Okay, and I don't believe in vampires, folks. The point I'm making is an
analogy. I do, though, Alex. I do.
Well, I mean, there's certainly people who basically are vampires. They just don't live forever.
I've met a few.
Exactly, but the point is, it goes back thousands of years. Whether it's the Hindus or the Christians or the Jews or the Aztecs, these evil people have a secret code, a rule, and they've got to basically count coup. They've got to admit to you in front of everyone what they really are, but they do it in a riddle to trick you. It's almost like they can't attack you until they've run their flag up.
And make sure you mention again. You just mentioned Hindus, Jews, you said and the evil people. You're not calling them evil.
Oh no. I'm saying no matter whether it's Muslims, Jews, Christians, animist, whatever. In every tradition, they will talk about the evil group.
Okay. I wanted you to make that distinction before the world comes cracking down on you.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, George. What I'm saying is evil people in every tradition teaches that evil people have to first tell you what they're going to do. But it's like a genie. A genie will trick you. A genie will first tell you what it's going to do in a riddle. You know, you ask for a ton of gold, it drops on top of your head. So what I'm saying is the elite, for some reason, believe they get more power out of, and this is, actually, I've read a lot of books on magic and how these people operate, and black magic. They think, they call it lesser magic. They believe they get power out of doing it in plain view and then you not seeing it. That's why they put their Illuminati symbols, the all-seeing eye, the triple six, all around us, all over TV, all over billboards, all over the media. They do this because they believe that they get power out of it. And so every religious teaching in the world warns people about this group. And again, I go back to what was happening with the vampires. They have to first trick you into giving them admittance, and you have to invite them into your house. So basically what's happening here is the elite does it in plain view in front of everyone because it's as if they have a rule that they've got to leave the evidence in plain view if they do this stuff.
Amazing. What's the story that's also breaking, Alex, about John Lennon? It was in the Guardian newspaper?
Yes, it's been all over European press. It's also been on national television, a few places here in the U.S. The new film, The U.S. versus John Lennon, has the actual handwritten letters by Senator, now deceased, Strom Thurmond, saying that we need to get rid of John Lennon. He's too powerful of an anti-war force. We need to go ahead and get rid of him because he may lead to a downfall of the Republican Party. And the first time I saw this, I was in New York for September 11th, and I had New York One, local ABC, on, and they just came right out and were showing the letter where the U.S. government, this was a letter.
What did he mean by get rid of?
Oh, the exact quote, I saw it on television, the exact quote was just basically, we need to use extreme measures against him and get rid of him immediately. And it's the same story. You've got this person, you know, walking up and unloading into him who then doesn't remember what he did.
It's an incredible story. Alex, we're going to keep you for questions. Can you do that?
Oh, are you kidding, George? I love being here. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Alex Jones' website's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. That's what we'll do. We'll keep the phone lines open. They give you an opportunity to chat with Alex Jones. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Brad Steiger joins us. And then the final half hour will just be open lines, as I'd like to ask you if you won or even born before during the Kennedy assassination, and where were you, if you remember? We'll be back. And remember, after your wonderful Thanksgiving Day with your friends and family, or just whether you've decided just to sit back with yourself, chill out, we will have a live program on Thanksgiving night. So I'll be here, and I hope you will too. That'll be on our next Coast to Coast show. Okay, welcome back with Alex Jones. We're going to take your phone calls as well. Well, Alex, why did the killers, why did they really decide to take him out, in your opinion? Was it just for the power, just for the control? You know, we heard from the various guests, they each had this specific reason why they thought Kennedy was killed because of this group. With your specific theory, tell us again, what do you think it really was? Was it the Federal Reserve Group that wanted him out? Was it the control? Why get him out of the way?
George, that is the key question. In fact, of my list of things I'd written down I wanted to talk about, that was the last one. I'm glad you brought it up. We're on the same page. I have studied Kennedy since I was in high school, and I've known it is the key to understand everything that's happening today. And I have to say, I want to hold Kennedy up as an idol. I appreciate what he did on civil rights. I think he was a good man. I've talked to people that knew him personally, but overall, I think that he represented the European elite or a subgroup of them, and he was trying to do something different than what the Anglo-American establishment, i.e. the U.S. and Britain, was doing. And I think that he really decided to become a leader. And I think the number one thing he did was say no to the Federal Reserve. That made him mad. He was trying to shut down the money cartel. And then he said no to staging terror attacks. Then he said no to the CIA. Then he had signed an order 2 weeks before he was killed, this is on the record, to withdraw all U.S. troops. In fact, 120,000 were already on ships and planes back. And that was their cash cow, over $120 million profit each year of that horrible 15-year war declared in 64, but went on until 75. It really started as a covert war in 1960. So anything the globalists do is for a cocktail of reasons, and he basically made them mad A to Z. And the question is why? When he first got in, and when he ran in 60, when he got in 61, he doubled spending for the military. He cut taxes by half. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy was a hawk and a conservative by all current definitions other than the civil rights thing. And I think the civil rights probably was the coup de grace. It probably was the cherry on top. He really was a person who was against racism, and he really did think black people deserved their rights, which they did. And I just think you add all that together. Basically, the bankers, the central banks, used a bunch of racist, and I'm a Texan. Texans are great. Not bashing Texans. I'm in the seventh generation. But I think they used racist Texans and the mafia. Basically, the globalists use people who are already mad. They go out and find people that are fellow travelers.
Yes.
And so, as you said at the start of this interview, he made a lot of people mad. And it was a perfect storm. It all came together, and they killed him. And the same elite that killed Kennedy was involved financing and controlling 9/11. And that's why I've made the film Terror Storm, and I'm just amazed and thankful to you, George. There's a big link up on coasttocoastam.com after the show's over for folks to watch my film Terror Storm for free. Over 40 versions have been uploaded, that is, different people have uploaded to Google Video. Over 7 million people watched it in the last 3 months.
That's incredible.
But the high-quality version is up there right now on Coast to Coast AM. That is, it's a good encoding, a good upload of it. And that's the history of government-sponsored terror, and it's the history of 9/11, 7/7. And by the way, it spent 3 weeks in Amazon's top 100, going as high as number 8. And Terror Storm is a very important film, available at Amazon.com or available at CoastToCoastAM.com for free, folks. Please go get it, download it. Terror Storm, or if you missed the link, just Google Terror Storm, one word. And folks can get the film. And why did I make a film that cost me $100,000? Now, that's a low budget for some, but that's a lot for me, and put it out for free.
That's your whole life savings and then some. What'd you do, finance your house again?
Well, I mean, it was quite a chunk of change for me. And I put it out for free because we have them dead to rights. I mean, we expose who the globalists are, how they stage the attacks. And at the end of the day, you know, whether it's somebody in a cave or criminal elements in our government, which we know it is, the truth is, we're giving up our liberties and not getting anything for it. And I want to save this republic. I want to save this Constitution. I love America. You served in this country's Navy for, what, 9 years?
9 years, yeah.
And I mean, I know you're genuine, George. I mean, and again, I don't like to kiss up. I'm not kissing up. That's not my personality. I just want to say.
We've had our differences, so everybody needs to know that. We don't agree with what each other says all the time.
I mean, hell, I don't agree with myself some days. But the point is, I want to thank you for the platform. And I want everybody to know this show, Coast to Coast AM, is really precious. And, George, the direction you've taken the show in the last 5 years is beautiful. So I salute you, my friend, and I thank you for allowing me to come on every 4 or 5 months to talk about the truth.
Let's wrap up the appearance with phone calls with Alex Jones. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Needles, California.
Okay, sure. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, what I'm wondering is, I want to make this quick for you and not go on too much. But until about 3-4 years ago, I was living next door to a man that was Jimmy Hoffa's key spokesman.
All right. What was his first name? I knew a lot of Hoffa people in my day.
Well, he went by Dutch, and he's also in the movie Hoffa.
Right.
Homer.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of nervous about, you know, saying his name. He's gone off.
Well, that's okay. What did he tell you?
Well, what he told me is that there was a Frank Sinatra link to the mob and the Federal Reserve. And I was watching and putting things together. And, you know, last week you had a topic on how, I don't know how to put this, the awareness and the our abilities are opening up more. And mine have done this off and on for years. It really happened more for me when I started accepting it was about 4 years ago when you held a car key in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Remote viewing. And so I started accepting this, and I started just putting things together of what he said and what he was saying. He believed that Hoffa was murdered by a man named Paul, and I, you know, or ordered by a man named Paul.
This couldn't have been Dutch Schultz. Was Dutch Schultz still alive then?
No, it was Wachsberg.
All right.
It's Homer L. Wachsberg.
Okay, so how are we tying this in the JFK, Karen?
Well, what he was telling me was that Frank Sinatra set Roselli, introduced Frank Sinatra to Judith Exler.
Well, ma'am, let me just say this to you.
Okay.
The mafia was used as some of the shooters, some of the others
in
the military.
And Alex, these are now more pieces of a puzzle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the mafia couldn't make the motorcade change its route. It couldn't engage in the huge government cover-up. It couldn't block the release of the documents. And I'm just saying the mafia is a piece of the puzzle, but we have the puzzle put together. We know the New World Order killed John Fitzgerald Kennedy in 1963, 43 years ago today.
Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
St. Louis?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You made a comment about John Lennon, and I wanted to draw this thread. What immediately preceded John Lennon's assassination, in my opinion, as I saw it, the consolidation of extreme, what now I would call radical right-wing power in this country, a la Anita Bryant, Pat Robertson, family values, kind of everything that would go against something that was going on at the time.
These letters, and I mean, I watched the whole show. I mean, this is admitted now.
Hold on.
They admit that the elements of the federal government said John Lennon is a leader, and he needs to be dealt with extreme prejudice and removed, and he got filled full of holes.
Fuck you.
Good. Well, we had to get him a little profanity saved by the master of our delay. They never get on. You know, Alex, this entire bizarre situation of profiteers also, I think, has been a major motive for so many years, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all about control. It's all about power. We've got a ruthless elite that'll use any terror group. group, any crime group, any organized crime organization, they use everybody to move their agenda forward. And until people stop being naive, which is now starting to happen, and start realizing that the centralization of power is always the biggest threat to liberty, we're going to keep going down this horrible road.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Robert, Stockton, California. I just wanted to say, first of all, real quick, that Alex, you're a truly great American, and I apologize for that last caller, and there's a lot of us that appreciate what you're doing, and I'm going to start waking them up around here.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say was that I wanted to ask you if you what do you thought about Bill Cooper's theory that the driver turned over his right shoulder with his left hand and fired a Colt 45 pistol. Yeah. I want to know what you thought about that.
Okay.
It looks pretty obvious in the Zapruder film that somebody, you know, that it looks pretty evident, really.
Okay. Well, I hate to disagree with you, and I think Bill Cooper was a great guy, and I interviewed him, I talked to him, I knew him. But I've seen the internet video you're talking about. I've seen the Zapruder film. I've talked to witnesses. Jim Mars doesn't agree, and I think he's a leading expert, really a great American. In fact, I'm making another film about JFK, and I'm making it with Mr. Mars, that he certainly turned around, but there isn't a pistol in his hand. From the evidence I've seen, he was shot from triangulated fire from at least two shooters in front of him. That's why the head goes back. That's why the back of the head blows off. I mean, I was a big hunter in my earlier years, and just you shoot an animal in the head, the back of its head blows off. You know, the bullet goes in, makes a small hole, makes a big hole on the other side. Kennedy was shot in the front, and the bullets went out the back. And that's the evidence we have. And people try to look at the Zapruder film because it shows a Secret Service agent turn around. They think he's shooting him in the face, and that's not the info I have.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. He turned around because he was in shock.
Yeah, and then Jackie literally climbs up and puts JFK's a piece of his head back on. That would have been too obvious. If you're going to kill somebody, you don't do it in plain view in front of hundreds of witnesses, turning around and shooting him in the face. I've talked to the police officers. I've talked to others that were there. There were people behind the picket fence on the overpass. They shot the president.
Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Gentlemen, great. Most respect for both of you, obviously. I was a cadet in the New Orleans Lakefront Airport Squadron back both sides of 1960. My senior commanding officer was David Ferry.
And really? Okay.
Yeah, thank you. He was also Oswald's. Huh. Oswald was in there about a year, year and a half before me and my guys. And David Ferry was his senior commanding officer as well. It was just talk. We just know that amongst us guys and gals from the squadron way back 48 years ago. Let's see. Ferry was Marcello's private pilot. That's an easy way to sneak in and out of, Cuba, coming into the small lakefront airport instead of Moisant. I was hypnotized by David Ferry. It wasn't a party game because we took it seriously, but it was at a mixed party with the females. And I couldn't say my name, and when released, I could say my name by David Ferry. That's the most telling thing about how you hook your patsy and nurture him along. That's my opinion, but gee, how far can it be from fact? I was in the eye of that hurricane.
Well, I think for people that want to understand patsies...
I have more to say, by the way.
Sure, go ahead, sorry.
No, you go, and then I'll
go. I was going to say Arlington Road is fictional, but that Hollywood film is a great example of how they set a patsy up.
Thank you, sir. I just have to get these three breadcrumb things in the trail. I have more, but there are other callers. Hypnotism, number one. Number two, when me and my buddy took the drill team to Dallas on our way to National, it was before 63, of course. David pressed a phone number into the senior cadet that went along with us, That phone number was Jack Ruby's phone number. I've seen a, you know, we know that, you know, I've seen a photograph with Ferry and Oswald out in the boondocks as well. That was Jack Ruby's phone number. And Dave took me and my, I was the leader of the special squad, platoon, if you call it that, the A-team, in the squadron. He used to take us north of the lake. I'm sure he took the big boys during the week and me and my, you know, cadet-level ages on the weekends. But there were two Marines that taught us how to knife fight, hand battle, you know, hand fight, knife fight, and garrot, you know, at a watching post, you know, a guard post, and not be killed if someone has snuck up on you in that guard post. We played war games out there, north of the lake, the notorious north of the lake. And so why were there... See, Oswald, they don't want you to know that he was at ex-Civil Air Patrol cadet. They always refer to him as an ex-Marine.
Well, listen, let me just say this.
And then
we know the official story of JFK's assassination, that a lone gunman got off three shots in 6 seconds through an obscured view of a tree. We know that's impossible. We know it's a lie. They meant for us to learn that it's a lie. And I don't think it's bad to focus on all the mechanics and all the details, but it's the same thing with 9/11. Bombs in the buildings, CIA insider trading, CIA drills of flying hijacked jets into buildings. We miss the forest for the trees because the globalists have always used terror and fear to get their agenda through. They're out in the open showing all of us what they're doing to literally terrorize us into submission.
Let's go to our final caller with you, Alex, first-time caller. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I am Belma, and I live 100 miles from Dallas. I was living in Dallas at the time, and I had my car parked behind that Texas Depository book building.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw the shooter came out, and he had a very high-powered rifle. It was no bolt action. And...
Let me ask you, please, because that rifle that they said Oswald used to kill Kennedy was apparently left upstairs. So you're saying you saw someone else come out with a high-powered rifle. Okay, tell me what happened then.
Okay, I'm sitting in my car, and there's a gray, dove-colored, old one-seated Plymouth car sitting there, and there's a man with a felt hat on with a wide band, and he had on a suit. And he had black hair and real heavy eyebrows, and he'd look at me kind of dirty. Well, about that time, a police car come and told this man to move, and he didn't move right away. And the police got out of his car, and I know later it was Tippett. And he told him, he said, "I said move that car." Well, then this man that's in this old gray car, he went straight on around and went around this big building that was across the street from me. Tippett went the other way, so they must have met back there. Anyway,
there were dozens of witnesses that saw a bunch.
Well, let me ask you this, Alex, because we're ready to hit the hour here. Did you say this to the Warren Commission, ma'am, or anybody else?
I haven't told anybody because I had four children I was having support then, and I didn't want to get shot. And I saw the man and I could tell you how he's dressed.
All right, I want you to hold, man, because I want to talk to you again. Alex, thank you, my friend. We'll see you on our full show.
George, thanks for having me on. Folks, go Google Terror Storm. Get it at Amazon.com. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, we're going to go back to her and then Brad Steiger. I want to finish up with her. We'll be back.